Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just stay standing. Let's get into our Bibles this morning. We're going to start a new series, and this series is called Relationship Matters. Relationship Matters. And there was no better way to start this than that testimony. Amen? There was no better way because what? It shows the value. A mother was praying for her son because she values that relationship. Amen? There was a connection there, and it would have caused pain to the entire family. Hallelujah. Let's go over to Romans chapter 5. Can we lower this monitor a little? I'm just getting too much feedback. I want to go get running. Where's Brother Robin? No, amen. That's better? All right, we'll live there for a second. All right. Romans chapter 5, Acts, Romans. Looks like Romans left the Bible. All right. Praise God. We're going to read from verse 6. Amen? If you don't own a Bible, I'll ask you, buy a Bible. Amen? Bibles are very reasonable. We should get some in stock maybe next week. They're $30, and they're personalized with the Faith Church right on it. Amen? They also have some big ones. If you want a note-taking Bible, on the way out, City Ushers, they have some big ones for sale as well. Amen. Praise God. Invest in the Word of God and read the Bible every day. Can I tell you that? Yeah. Pop that Bible open. And you know why? I'm not against the phone at all. I love technology. I have a computer up here. There's screens everywhere. There's lights everywhere. We love technology. But when I read my Bible on the phone, I get distracted. Welcome, sir. When I read the Bible on the phone, someone texts me, somebody sends me a message, Instagram goes off, Facebook goes off, somebody calls you, you know, all of these things. And what it does, takes your attention. Amen? Praise God. All right, let's go over, and remember we're talking about what? Relationship. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 6, it says, for when we were still without strength, what were we without? Is it on the screens? Okay, good. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified. Justified means we are made right with God. Amen? The word justifies, when you see it in scripture, it speaks of us having right standing with God. So when you come through Christ, you are now at peace with God. If you go back to verse 1, you will see that. It says, now being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So let me see all those who have peace with God. Yeah, God. Let's do it again. If you're saved, let me see who got peace with Jesus. Yeah, you got peace with God. Because while you came, you came through Christ. Amen? So you've been justified. You've been made right. You're in right standing. Positionally, you are well. By his blood. What? By his blood. So is it by your works? No, it is by his blood. We didn't do anything. We just received. We shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Somebody say much more. Somebody say much more. Tell him the best is yet to come. More is yet to come. The much more is yet to be revealed. Much more. Mighty God. Having been reconciled, past tense, you have already been reconciled now. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by whose life? His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice. What we do? Rejoice. Come on, what we do? Rejoice. What we do? Hallelujah! In God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, God, that you'll just minister to and through us by your spirit. I pray, God, that you will help us to hear what you're saying this morning. I pray your power will just flow through this word in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So I want to talk to you about relationship. We're in the month of love. Everywhere you go to the stores, you see decoration, you see decor, you see candy, you see teddy bears, you see presents everywhere. And on Tuesday, all the ladies will have a series of expectations. High expectation. And can I tell you a secret? If you don't have no expectation, you can't get nothing. If you don't have expectation, there is possibility you ain't gonna get nothing. Because the word of God says, according to your faith, be it unto who? To you. To me. So you have to have anticipation. Even if you got a sore man as a husband, say, God, I believe he gonna change. If you got a terrible wife as a husband, terrible mean wife. And they got some mean ladies out there. That's some mean ladies. Not only men, you know. That's some mean girls, man. They look at their men on the street and the men melt. They just give them the hype. All of a sudden, the man goes into a straight jacket. And he's very proper. Good morning, good afternoon. Yes, 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 ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm so happy you guys don't go to the mall. When you go to the mall next time, you look at those men walking behind their wives. Yeah, no, but it's Valentine's, so I want to speak to you a little about relationship. Relationship matters. We saw this mother here crying out for her son, getting everybody around. Why? Because relationship is important. You and I are in a relationship with each other. Can I say that again? You and I are in a relationship. I'm pastor, and I lead you. I'm your shepherd, and you follow me. We're in a relationship. You come here expecting your pastor to share a word with you that would encourage you, build you up, strengthen you. Now, you are in a relationship with each other. You have brothers, you have sisters, you have some big sisters, you have some young sisters, you have some big brothers, you got some young brothers. Listen, it's relationship. When you go to your job, there is relationship there. When you're at home, there are relationships. There's mommy and daddy relationship. There is mommy and children relationship. There's daddy and children relationship. Then there's brother and sister, right? There's so much. Some of the homes have grandma living there with you. You can't treat grandma like your parents. No. You got to treat grandma like grandma. You got to treat grandpa like grandpa, because parents treat their children one way, but then grandparents amp it up and treat them a whole nother way. It's a different, what? Relationship. And all of these relationships, they what? They matter. They matter. So in this scripture, I want to point you to something that changed our life. And that is the love of God. Every relationship hinges on some sort of love. Every relationship hinges on love one way or the other. Amen? And let's see what God did to show us and paint this picture for us. Verse 8 says, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were what? Still. We were what? Still. Mind that, watch that word. We were still sinners, Christ died for us. What did God do? He demonstrated his love for us. This is Valentine's week. I want to tell every man in this room, every wife in the room, every mother in the room, every grandmother, every friend, every brother and sister, it is time for us to demonstrate love, because we pray and we say, Lord, make us like you. I want to be like you. I want to be more like you. You want to know what it looks like to be like Jesus? There is demonstration of love. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. All the principles that are operating in the world, like giving, came from God. While we were sinners, Christ did something about our situation. I mean, God did something about our situation. He sent Jesus to pay the price so that you and I can be reconciled. We were separated from God. God saw the void. God felt the pain. God felt the emptiness. God felt the stress. God felt the oppression. God felt, the Bible says, he's moved by whatever we go through. Now, he did not leave us there. He did something about the problem. He did not leave me in shame. He did not leave me in guilt. He did not leave me in brokenness. No, he did something. He demonstrated the love that he felt. It is time for us to stop telling people we love them and begin showing them how much we love them. God showed us his love. He demonstrated it. He painted a picture of it so that we can all experience his love. He didn't do it when we were good. He didn't wait for us to get our act together, no. He said when we were without hope. Like when your legs are pulled out, the rug is pulled out from under your feet, you're standing firm and all of a sudden the rug is pulling, you drop right up on your face or on your back. In a hopeless state. When we were hopeless, when we were without hope, Christ died for the ungodly. God did not wait for us to get strong. He said when we were without strength, we had no foundation to stand on, because what we were standing on was sinking sand. We were on sinking sand because we were not built on God. There was no opportunity for us to get to God. There was no roadmap to get to God. There was no path to God until Jesus came and he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So God what? He demonstrated love. Now, when we do acts of kindness, what are we doing? We're demonstrating love. When we give a good word, what are we doing? We're demonstrating love. When we tell somebody about Jesus, what are we doing? We're demonstrating. Now, God cannot help himself but love. Because 1 John 4:8 says God is love. He is what? Love. God stepped in when we were weak, when we were hopeless, when we were broken. And he expressed love towards us because that is who he is. It is his character. He's made up of love. He is selfless. He's forgiving. He is sacrificial in everything he does. You think it was easy for God to demonstrate this love? No, it was not. Because even when the angel came to Mary and the angel said, Mary, you're going to have a son. She said, how can this be? And what did the angel says? With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. It was outlandish. Because we were hopeless. We were without strength. There was no hope for us, but God in his love, he wanted a relationship with us. He wanted to have fellowship with us. So what he did something about it. Many of us are sitting in this room today and we're saying, I want to have a relationship, a better relationship with my husband, a better relationship with my wife, a better relationship with my parents, a better relationship with my cousin that I haven't spoken to for 15 years. I want to tell you, begin doing something about it. If you say that you love your spouse, you have to demonstrate your love. You have to be kind. You have to be gentle. You have to be sacrificial. Love is not easy. Can I tell you that? Love is not easy. But God stepped right in. Because what? He is love himself, and he is able to exceed our failure. He's able to exceed our sin. Because the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. What covers sin? What covers sin? What covers sin? Love. Before the blood could have done it, love had to have done it. Hello? We plead the blood, but without love, there was no blood to plead. There is no love, no blood without love. Blood, no blood. Love must be visible. Tell somebody, I'm going to make love visible. Love must be visible. Why do you think people join the church? It's when we make love visible. John 13:35 says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. If you have what? Love one for another. Now, the love that God gives, in the Greek, there are four different types of love, or four different words that are used for love. There is agape love, there is eros, which is between husband and wife, then there is storge, which is brother to brother, sister to sister, father to children, and then there is phileo, which is brotherly love, what prevails in the church. But today, I want to tell the church, God wants us to move to agape love. Agape love is that sacrificial love. It is a sacrificial love without the person giving the love receiving any. Even if the love is rejected, the love is still given. Hello? It does not only mean unconditional. No, it means that the love is being rejected, but yet the love is given. And the one that gives the love is not offended if the person who was supposed to receive it rejects it. Because what did we do to Jesus when God was calling us and he's coming and he said, come on, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If... Imagine God is behind a door and he's knocking and he's saying, if you hear, do not harden your heart. Imagine how heartful that is, but yet he's still there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, and he's not offended by our hardened heart. This is the only way will people know that we are disciples of Jesus. When we have love for difficult people. When we got love for people we don't see for 6 months and then they come to church and we give them the biggest hug. We don't go like, why didn't you come to church? What's your problem? Why are you coming back now? No. Jesus says, I am married to the backslider. The word married is a heavy word. It can't be broken. It cannot be broken. That's how powerful it is. So even someone walks and is not doing exactly what they think, as long as their faith and their confidence is in Christ, Christ is connected to them. Now they are being defeated by sin. They're being abused by sin. Remember the prodigal son? He walked out on his daddy, took all his goods, went and wasted. Walking out is one thing, but half of what I have worked all my life for, you're taking it and you're going to go waste it and do whatever you want with it. But yet, when he came to the understanding that he is being abused, misused, and now he is refused, he decided to go back home to daddy. And when he got back home to daddy, daddy was there waiting with arms wide open. Come here, boy. Take a ring. Take a robe. Here's a hug. Here's a kiss. Mwah! That is agape love. And parents know all about that. It takes agape love to raise children. God puts that love on the inside of you. It doesn't matter what your kids do, and it's okay, it's the right thing. Because how will your light shine? Is if you got. Not if you could korabashanda namakando, because that will fail. Prophecy will fail. But love remains. So we must have love. And our love must be evident, because he says, how will people know? It's when they see the love. You're from one country. You're from another country. You look one way. This one looks another way. That one looks another color. Different kind of hair. Different kind of skin color. Different size. But yet you're all hugging, loving, embracing, walking together, doing life together in harmony, in unity, in oneness. It's because of the love of God. Now, this is no simple love. This is the real deal. This is the real deal. Tell somebody I got the real deal. It is the real deal. Let me tell you a little about this love. Let me tell you guys something. I say a lot of crazy stuff. I'm going to say one more. Even if Cher don't love me, I got agape. I like her love. Her love is hot, fiery, spicy, get my blood flowing. It's true. That's why I tell people, don't build your life on anybody else. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Unto God. Let me show you what agape love looks like. And if we could put agape love in our relationships, it's going to be good. Good. Husbands, wives, people who want to get married, those who are hoping to get married, if you get agape love when you get married, it's going to be the best love. Because can I tell you the real deal? You're going to have to forgive that person at some point. You're going to find out some things about them that you didn't know, and you're going to go like, huh? You? Yeah. But you got to go in with a mindset to have agape love. Unconditional love. Sacrificial. Tell my wife, I say, you can't do anything to make me stop loving you. I tell her, and I mean this, she can't do me no wrong. She can't hurt me. If she, hold on, if she hurts me, you know who she hurts? Herself. Because the Bible said we become what? One. The Bible said, how can a man hate his own flesh? Do you understand what's going on here? Do you understand what is happening here? If you want to hear it again, go watch the video again. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love suffers long. Ask people who've been married for 20, 30, 40 years how much stuff they go through. Ask brothers and sisters that are in their 60s how much trials their relationship went through. I don't talk to you for 6 months. Sometimes it's just right. Because if somebody's coming in your house and creating chaos, some, you know, got some troublesome siblings. Yeah, you got some troublesome mother-in-laws. Let's go there. Troublesome mother-in-laws that create troubles mostly in the son's life. They always want to hurt the daughter-in-law. For some reason, it's like a target. They're like, like a sniper. Always, it's a thing in life. But you know what we got to do? We got to get wise. Now, if you allow your mom to talk about your wife, what do you think she's going to do? She's going to talk about her. She's going to talk. Because that's what mamas like to do. Because she's only seeing one side. She is seeing her son. But if mama has agape love, if mama has sacrificial love, if mama has unconditional love, if mama understands this kind of love, she will be able to see on a fair basis. And there will be no favoritism. I always tell my wife, I say, you misbehave, I'll tell your parents, I'll tell my parents, I'll let everybody know. Because I have such a relationship, I can pick up the phone anytime and call my father-in-law, call my mother-in-law. Well, you know, I could call my parents anytime. But some of you don't even speak to your in-laws. You need to get saved. Because you got to display what kind of love? How will they know that you're a disciple of Christ? Only if you have love. Love suffers long. What it does? Now, this is agape love. This is not just huggy-kissy. Touchy-feely, that's a hot love. That's an eros love, and that's where we get the word erotic from, right? Eros. Imagine what's going through your heads. It's like, ooh, eros, ooh, give me some of that. Love suffers long, love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not envy. You don't go around envying each other. You don't go around looking at others and turning up your nose at them. And way down deep inside, you want what they have. Look at her with her bag, but yet you want the bag. Look at her with her belt, but you want the belt. Look at her with her shoes, but you want the shoes. Look at him with his car, but you want the car. Look at them with their big house, but you want a big house. That is not love. So if you have an envious mindset, deal with it today. Love does not parade itself, nor does love come with the bag and go. That is not love. That is the flesh. I did it good? Okay. I see you guys enjoying it. It does not parade itself. Now is it puffed up, meaning it feels it's better than everyone. You're not better than nobody. If we all came through the blood, rather we came through love, and it's because of love we all stand. We all stand because of love. Amen? Love. Look here. Love does not behave rudely. Somebody say, ouch. Love is not rude. It is not rude. Love does not seek its own. Oh, God, it's not selfish. You know, you got some selfish people in the world. All they do, they care about me, myself, and I. Even in marriages, they're selfish husbands. They're selfish wives. There's some people that get married to other people's children, and all they do is seek to get out of them and seek to control them and seek to manipulate them. But that's a demon, and we're going to deal with it. You don't seek your own, even on your job. Don't go there with a selfish mindset. You're going there to work. Go with love. And say, this terrible patient that I have here who does not sleep, for all those who do home care, you're going to pray for them and pray peace over them. Because what? Because of that person, you're getting your income. Have the right perspective. When you go to your job, don't go, oh, it's Monday again. If you don't go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can't go pick up no check. How will people know that you are a child of God? It is not because you're walking with your Bible and on Monday you jump up on the table and you say, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. No. You have love. Love. Have love. Love is not provoked. Self-control comes in now. Oh, because he did this, I did that. Because she did that, I did that. Because she screamed at me, I smacked her. It's not provoked. You know, there's some people that people say, oh, you're allowing them to take advantage of you. No, it's you operating in love. You have self-control. Like Tio got scratched in the face, right? So I asked him, how come you got scratched? He said he pulled a girl here and the girl scratched him. I said, the reason you got scratched is because you pulled the girl here. If you did not pull her here, you wouldn't get scratched. So the story came out that he got scratched. But then I had to dig deep to find out how come he got scratched. Because the girl did him something and he reacted. I think she pushed him or something. So he reacted by pulling the hair. If he did not pull the hair, this is what I'm trying to say, he would not have gotten scratched. Sometimes you got to take some things and leave it alone. Operate in love. All right. This stuff is really good. Love thinks no evil. That one's heavy, man. That one's really heavy. Sometimes some things people do to you, God, like these people are from the dark side. But you got to be able to say, no, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to pray God bring you through. I'm not going to think evil thoughts. I'm not going to think how to retaliate. I'm not going to think how to get back at you. I'm not going to think how I can get even with you. I'm not going to ponder on those things. That is not love. Those are works of the flesh. It does not rejoice in iniquity. Now is good for you. Because she did this to me last week, this is happening to her now. When people are going through hardships, we rejoice because we feel so righteous and holy and pious. Good for you. I know it was coming. Every dog has their day. Now we say all these things, but that's not coming from a place of. But rejoices in truth. What is truth? That God loves that person. God cares for that person. There's a better life that person can have. They can experience the change that comes from God. Amen? So love, last verse. No, man, there's a lot more. It bears all things. It believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things, no matter what comes your way, because of the love of God in your heart, you're able to bear, you're able to believe, you're able to hope beyond the present situation. Because of what? There is a foundation. There is a foundation of love in you. And I want to show you this. I want to show you this. Turn over to Romans 5:5. And while you're turning there, love restrains, love controls, love puts you in the right direction. Love redirects your life, because you could have been coming out from a gang life, coming out from a drug mindset. You may come from a lifestyle of addiction, but when you feel love, all of a sudden you are able to react different. You're able to give love. You're able to have compassion because of love. Romans 5:5. Oh my God. Where can I find this love? Where is this love? Remember, we said that we were reconciled to Jesus, right? We've been justified by Christ. Amen? You're in right standing with God. Can I get an amen? This is the foundation for what I'm about to tell you now. Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed. What does hope do? It does not make you ashamed. Because what? The love of God is what? Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Somebody say illustration time. Okay, I need some help. Can I get help? Two people. We're going to set this up. Now, this is your heart. Right? You got two hearts today. I'm just kidding. It's only one. This is your heart, right? Let's put this around here. Not in the front. One there. Pick this up. No. Yeah, the water. Put it down. Good. All right, you take this, you open that. So this is your heart, right? All right, when I tell you pour, you're going to pour, right? Now, it says here, the love of God is shed. Shed means to pour. Shed means what? What is shed? Go back to the word. Because the love of God is shed. The love of God is poured on your heart. But I'm going to borrow this one. This is how it is poured. No, that's not how it is poured. It said it is shed. The word shed means to pour liberally. Start pouring. Pour. Easy. Pour. Yeah, keep pouring. What is happening? The heart is receiving love. Hold on. Stop. Look what's in it. What's in it? Water represents the love, right? Let's go again. Pour it again. God pours his love liberally in your heart. He pours it bountifully. He pours it in great measure, so that now the people that comes around you, they themselves is able to receive love from your heart. You are able to put it out on others. He said, hope does not disappoint, because what? The love of God is poured in our hearts. You're saying, I don't have love to give. This is what God did. He poured, and you're sucking it up. And then guess what? You're going around and you're being his disciple, and you're pouring love on people everywhere. So you're saying, Pastor, I don't have agape love. Yes, you do. What do you have? What do you have? Who gave it to you? The Holy Spirit. Who poured it? All right, stick with me. Who poured it? No. The Holy Spirit has poured his love in our hearts. So now,
He pours every day you're praying, every day you're studying the word, every day you're talking to him, every day you're receiving from him. And how is he pouring? He's shedding it liberally on you. Because what he says, this is the only way men will know you are my disciples, if you have agape love, one for another. And then you come back again, and what he does, he pours more. He pours more. He pours more. And what you do with it? You go now and you're shedding liberally. People who don't deserve it, you're walking the streets and you're sharing love with everyone. Today is a day to consider. Where are you on the love? Thank you. Where are you on the love spectrum? How are you dealing with your relationships? How are you dealing with the people in your home? How are you dealing with your spouse? How are you dealing with your children? How are you dealing with your extended families? How are you dealing? You might be a boss, you might be a manager. How are you dealing with the people that you manage? Are you being light? Are you offering hope with your love? It is time for us to evaluate. And I want to show you guys this. When you go home, I want you to read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. And it says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Do you have a name? Do you have a name? You carry the name of Jesus wherever you go. Amen? You have a name. "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your heart through" what? "Faith. That you being rooted and grounded in" what? In what? Rooted and grounded in love. It is time for us to know where our foundation is, and it is in love. We didn't come to Jesus because of lights. We didn't come to Jesus because of a good preacher. We didn't come to Jesus because of the people in the church. No, we came here, leave it. We came here because of love. We came here because of what? Love. Because what do we feel? The love of Jesus. Read that scripture, and we are secured, meaning being rooted and grounded. When a tree root goes down, what happens to that tree? It becomes stable. It becomes strong. It is able to go through the storms. Different storms come at different points in the year. Some storm comes when it has leaves and everything looks good and everything looks beautiful and the weather is fine outside. But some storm comes when you're naked without any leaves, nothing to cover you, and you feel like you're going to be devoured by the elements. But guess what? You send down some roots and you're rooted in God. And when your roots are there, you're not just there, but you're drawing nutrients, you're drawing strength, you're drawing joy, you're drawing peace, you're drawing hope, you're drawing unconditional love for every situation that life brings to you. Because you're rooted in love. You are rooted in. You're not rooted in the church. Hey, not because you're a member of the church means anything. I want you to be rooted in love first. Rooted in the love that God has given to us in Jesus. Amen? Let's wrap up. Now this is the only way you'll be able to understand. You have to be rooted and grounded that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height. Now, the only way you could understand that, you got to get rooted in Christ. That revelation by the Holy Ghost may flow into your mind, into your spirit, that you're able to understand how big the love of God is for you. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God comes when you find the love of God. It is through His love. He sheds that love in your heart. He pours it out. He pours it out in your heart. He pours it liberally. Liberally, He gives you the love. He gives it to you in great measure. Abundance of love. So that we can what? Then go out and make a difference. Tell somebody, relationships matter. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, relationship matter. So, but relationship without love, relationship without love is better you don't have. Because you are in contact with another person. And every person deserves to be loved. Every person deserves to be loved. How do we know this? For God so loved the world. You're telling me the murderer? Yes, I'm telling you the murderer. You're telling me the rapist? Yes, I'm telling you the rapist. Those are like the bad guys in the world. And then everyone else comes. But do you know when God looks at a thief, same as a murderer? When God looks at a liar, is the same as a rapist? It is all same. But what did God do? He demonstrated His love. I want you to leave here today and let this week be a week of demonstration. Go out and show some love. Go out and let people know that God has done something in your heart. Be sacrificial this week. Let us all stand as we look to God. And you might, we're all at different points in our life. We all have different needs. We all have different battles. We all have different enemies that we are fighting. Some of us are fighting stuff that came down from generation to generation. Some of us are fighting curses. I want to tell you today, love covers the multitude of sin. If you would get rooted in God's love, get rooted in God's love, it will make a difference. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this congregation today. I thank you for your people. I pray, God, that a revelation will hit their spirit today of this great love that you've released to us. Let your love just flow over us today. Let your love wash over us. Before the blood, there was love. Love brought forth the blood. And we are grateful that our foundations go down deep in love. Holy Ghost, I pray today, those standing in this room, every brokenness that they're feeling, every emptiness, I pray in this moment, God, that you will pour, like how the water was poured on this sponge and it just overflowed the sponge. Pour your love on their hearts this morning.
Let your love be shed abroad in their hearts. Gela rokorobo shata. Marebe siekie kande yabashi alada basuturu korobo shata.